Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We are in Galatians chapter 1. You'll recall that Paul is writing to the churches in a region where false teachers had come to them and said, you can't just be saved by grace. It's got to be grace plus works. There were folks who wanted to put them back under the authority of the law, and Paul is going to write and demolish that in a way that is very important for us to understand. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, this is God's word. "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days, but I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I declare in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, 'He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up according to a revelation and presented to them the gospel I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those recognized as leaders. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus in order to enslave us. But we did not give up and submit to these people for even a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you. Now, from those recognized as important, what they once were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised, since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, those recognized as pillars, acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only that we would remember the poor, which I had made every effort to do." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Sometimes when you're purchasing something, or even this morning as I walked onto the porch and there were various things in the hands of children, the question arises, where did you get that? Okay? Where did you get that? Paul is addressing this question, which is a very important question. He is going to be disputing teachers that have influenced the churches in Galatia, and he wants the people in Galatia to know right off the bat that this isn't something he made up or received from some other person. I learned this from so-and-so. He wants them to understand, and so he emphasizes it, what I have been telling you is directly from God. God revealed this to us. Take a look, if you would. Don't lose your place in Galatians, but take a look over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter does something similar in writing. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason this is important is because there are multitudes of people, even today, some of whom call themselves evangelical, whose approach to Scripture is that basically this is kind of a collection of what people concluded after their own personal journey with God. Okay? It's a wonderful thing that we can draw from, learn from, and it contains the Word of God. And I want to submit to you, it is very important that we understand the Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. The reason we believe the Bible, the reason we study the Bible, is because it's God's Word. It is absolutely true. Jesus said, not the least stroke of a pen will disappear until it's all fulfilled. I don't just believe the red letters. I believe all the Scriptures. Jesus taught us that. He showed us that by the way that he made an argument with the Pharisees based on the tense of a verb. There is a very real sense in which all of Scripture is red letter. It's all the Word of God. And Jesus spoke the Scriptures even as he stood against the temptation of Satan when he was in the wilderness. Jesus responded with Scripture, modeling for us how to respond to temptation. So it is vitally important that Paul, before he launches into the reaffirmation of the gospel, establishes, folks, I didn't make this stuff up, and I didn't receive it from somebody else so that I'm just having to believe what they say. He said, this came by revelation from God. It is God speaking through Paul, and that's what Paul wanted the Galatians to understand. He said, I want you to know the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. Let it sink in. This good news didn't come from man. It's not our opinion. I had a young woman, a psychology major at a Christian college, ask me years ago, "Don't you think maybe the things that we believe about God are just our way of expressing the felt need emotionally for a father?" I said, "No, I think fathers were invented by God to give us a picture of what he's like." And sadly, a lot of fathers don't do a good job. But it doesn't change the fact that God is God. And by the way, if I were making up a myth, this wouldn't be it. Okay? I would not come up with something that says that I deserve hell. Right? I would prefer a myth that says, you know, if you try hard and you're better than a lot of the people around you, then you can have a great reward. Because you can always find people who aren't doing as well as you are. Okay? You want to be careful who you compare yourself to, because some people could make you feel humble. But if you compare yourself to the right people, you can feel really good about yourself. Paul begins his argument by saying, you must know that the gospel I preach to you is not of human origin. God is the one who wrote this story. God is the one who created us and who revealed to us his eternal plan for our salvation. This is God's idea. It's not ours. It wasn't Paul's. And Paul says, I want you to know that. For I didn't receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's where he got the gospel. But I want you to look at the beginning of chapter 2, which we read a few moments ago. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up according to a revelation and presented to them the gospel I preach among the Gentiles. What's he saying? He's saying, not only did I receive the gospel by revelation from God, but I live my life on the basis of obedience to what God shows me. Pastor, what are you saying, that all of us are supposed to become just mystics who constantly walk around only doing what the Lord tells us to do? Well, I'm fine with that as long as you start with what God has already said. Okay? I have had too many experiences in my life where God brought his word sharper into my life as I did something that at the time seemed a bit foolish. For example, resigning the church in Atlanta and coming up here to start a children's home. Okay? That wasn't something Scripture commanded me to do. Scripture simply taught me the way God thinks and the way God speaks and the way God works, so that when God told me to do that, I could tell that was God. And God confirmed obedience by blessing as he has. But let me tell you something. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're missing out on New Testament Christianity. Because real Christianity is not simply a matter of believing certain doctrines. It's a matter of having a true personal relationship with Jesus. That doesn't mean you're hearing voices all the time. It does mean that you have cultivated an attitude of dependence on him, and you're eager to do what he says. And God doesn't have to give you a special bulletin when he's given all of us his holy word. But Paul says, I want you to understand the reason that I say what I say and the reason that I do what I do is because this is what God has shown me. And that's the way that all Christians should live.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his
hand. Are you walking in obedience to God's word as best you understand? We're not all going to understand everything the same. I have full confidence that when I finally die and stand before God, I'm going to be embarrassed about some of the stuff that I was wrong about. If I knew what those things were, I'd correct them right now. Okay? But the nature of a blind spot is that you can't see it. So we should walk with humility here in this life before God and with each other, understanding that we may be missing a couple of things. But I'll tell you this, the stuff we know, that we'd better do. And Paul is writing and he says, what I teach, what I preach is not of human origin. I didn't receive it from a human source. I wasn't taught it. It came by revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, for you've heard about my former way of life in Judaism. Paul says, there should be some credibility when you see how I've changed. Okay? What changed me? I was devoted to the traditions that were handed down to me. I was so zealous for keeping the traditions of the Jews that I persecuted those who followed Jesus. I did my best to tear down the church. What happened? The revelation of the gospel. God revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus and made him a new man, Paul the Apostle. That's what only God can do. That's what the gospel's all about. It's not about us cleaning up our act. It's about God transforming us from the inside out. A lot of people really believe that Christianity is just about several doctrines and some behaviors that we need to cultivate. That's not it. That's not it. Because you see, it's not enough to be somebody who believes these things and lives this way. It's about knowing Jesus, not just knowing about him. And what I desperately want for each and every one of you, young and old, is to really, truly have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And therefore, you will want to obey whatever he says. Whatever he says. No matter what it costs, you will want to do his will more than anything else in life. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with him. It means you are totally dependent upon him and therefore eager to obey. Paul, writing to these folks, says, you've heard about my former way of life. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I didn't immediately consult with anyone. It doesn't say he never did. He tells us later when he did consult. And he went to consult because he wanted confirmation that what he was preaching was indeed consistent with what God had revealed to them. Why does that matter? Because God doesn't contradict himself. You need to have personal convictions. And then, in obedience to God, he says it was by revelation from God that he went up to Jerusalem to get confirmation. The Lord showed him that he ought to do that. And so he did what the Lord showed him to do, which was to go and get confirmation. He says, lest I was running in vain. If you don't have any doubts about yourself, you've got big problems. I've got big doubts about myself, but I have no doubts about God. Okay? I do not doubt him. I do not doubt his word. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that God has been so amazingly kind to me, it blows my mind. I am astounded by the mercy and grace of God. But I am well aware that I have the capacity to make mistakes, to get it messed up. And God in his mercy has, through the years, on multiple occasions, humbled me by showing me that I was out of line, that I was wrong, that I missed that. That I thought I was doing this for him. And God says, actually, you remember this? And it's like, oh boy, that's embarrassing. All of us, by the way, have mixed motives. If you go back and you read the text, three times David heard about the reward. He heard about it one time and he said, what was the reward? What will be done for the person who kills this giant? And they told him. And then after a dispute with his brother, which he shrugged off, he goes back and asked about it again. And they told him again as they had before. You get to marry the princess, you get a whole bunch of money, and your father's family will be exempt from taxes in Israel. And David's response was, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Okay. Now, was David concerned about the glory of God? Absolutely. Is it safe to say that that may have indeed been his primary motivation? Definitely. But would it be true to say that was the only thing that motivated him? Apparently not. Because the text shows us three times that he was interested in the reward, and it wouldn't be in the Bible if it weren't important. Now, why is that important for us? Because we've got mixed motives too. And sometimes the devil will use the fact that we have mixed motives to try and keep us from fighting giants. You do what God says. God will deal with the motives. Just do what God says. If you sit around focused on yourself and your motives and feeling like you can't go anywhere or do anything until we get all that resolved. You know, and until I am 100% totally sanctified and free from every scintilla of sin in my life, I don't think I'm in any position to share the gospel with somebody else. Well, then you're sinning. Okay? So knock it off. Get out there and do what God says. Just don't present yourself to lost people or to anybody else as if you think you're utterly sinless. I used to be a bad person, but 17 years ago, I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart, and now I never sin. That's the end of any credibility right there. Now, folks, Paul is writing to people not in order to say, hey, I'm really something special. He's writing to them and saying, I've received this revelation from God, and therefore you need to understand this isn't my word. This is his gospel, and you need to believe it and obey it. What I want you to understand today and what I want to take to heart today is the fact that God has revealed the truth to us in Jesus Christ through the scriptures. And I want you to be so solid in the trust you have in him that no matter what happens, you'll be unshakable. Because storms will come. And if you have built your house on the rock, you'll stand through the storms. But the rock is not just Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 7, it is obedience to his word. He says, the one who hears my word and puts it into practice is like the one who built his house on the rock. So it's not just, yes, I believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you'll obey him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.